everyone, and welcome back. Thank you for joining me on a Monday, a holiday at that. Well, when you're listening to this, it won't be, but we are coming to you. We are giving our time today on a holiday, myself and my very special guest, who I am so excited to have on. Let me tell you about him first, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty of the conversation. So this is Ben Azadi, and in 2008, Ben went through a personal health transformation like so many of us do, but he shed 80 pounds of pure fat, which is unbelievable. Ever since, Ben has been on a mission to help 1 billion people live a healthier lifestyle. He's the author of 4 best-selling books, Keto Flex, which I freaking love the title of. We're going to dive into that. The Perfect Health Booklet, the Intermittent Fasting Cheat Sheet, and the Power of Sleep, which we we get into that a lot on this podcast. So Ben has the go-to source for intermittent fasting and the ketogenic diet. He is known as the health detective because he investigates dysfunction and he educates, not medicates, to bring the body back to normal function. Ben is the founder of Keto Camp, a global brand bringing awareness to ancient healing strategies such as the keto diet and fasting, which I both love. Ben is the host of a top 15 podcast, the Keto Camp podcast, and the fast-growing Keto Camp YouTube channel with over 125,000 subscribers. Actually, I think you're up to 130 now, Ben. Thank you so much for joining me on the Thyroid Fixer podcast. There is nothing like this on the market. So if you want to get your hands on something very unique, then it's going to be Collagen Fixer 2.0. Here's what I did. Reblended it completely. Took 3 trademarked bioactive collagen peptides and put them together. One of them, Verisol. This is clinically proven to reduce your wrinkles and to reduce the appearance of cellulite and to improve your hair strength. So it helps your hair grow too. Number 2, Body Balance. This bioactive peptide has been shown to increase lean body mass and decrease fat mass. So now we're getting the reduction of cellulite. We're getting improved body composition. Oh, wait, there's one more. Fortigel. Fortigel supports cartilage tissue growth, helping those joints. So anyone with joint pain, if this is holding you back from working out, add this in. So now you get improved joints, improved mobility, improved body composition, better lean muscle, less fat, less cellulite, better hair, better skin, better nails, and some protein too. Why aren't you adding this in? There is nothing at all like it on the market. I'm pretty proud. Pretty proud of this bad boy. Collagen Fixer 2.0. So this is going to be a game changer for you, and you can probably hear the excitement in my voice. The latest introduction, the latest member of the family to the Fixer line is Metabolism Fixer. And this, oh my God, I formulated this just for all my people out there that need to lose weight, that need help in the weight loss department, that can't lose weight no matter what they do, that feel like they have a slow metabolism, and that might be thinking of trying all those peptides out there, you know, the Beverly Hills Soccer Mom drug of choice for weight loss peptides. Or even if you're on them already and you're like, man, these are really expensive and I'm still not losing weight, add in Metabolism Fixer. Here's what I did. I took the power of T2, which increases your basal metabolic rate while you are sitting there watching Netflix. You're burning fat while you're watching Netflix. I combined it with a very unique patented ingredient called Suppressa. Suppressa has multiple clinical trials backing its efficacy in reducing your appetite, decreasing snacking, and providing way more control over your food intake. It is amazing. We also see improved emotional well-being, just decreased food cravings all around, reduced hunger, and weight management. Add on top of that, we have green tea extract, we have purple forest purple tea extract, both of which affect the metabolism in a very positive way without the jitters of normal fat burning supplements out there from the 1980s and 90s, right? The ones that made you feel like you're having a heart attack. You will not have that in any of my supplements, Thyroid Fixer or Metabolism Fixer. But Metabolism Fixer, ooh, yeah, we kicked it up a notch. It is in powder form, so you can drink it through your day. It's going to flavor your water. We got orange crush and refreshing citrus. I love them both. It is going to keep you under control all day long. So you throw a couple scoops in your water bottle in the morning, throw a scoop or two in your water bottle throughout the day. You will have fat burning and appetite control the entire day for what? An eighth of a price of the peptides? Oh my God, you can't go wrong. So grab some Metabolism Fixer today. Please let me know how you do on it. I'm super excited for you. Super excited.
Amy, I'm grateful to be here. I love your work, love what you're doing. So it's an absolute honor to be here with you and your amazing listeners and watchers.
Thank you. Thank you. So I'm just going to start off. I say a lot of the things that you say. We are in agreement. We are in alignment on so many things. But I want my listeners to hear it come from your mouth. So I might be asking you some questions today that I already know my take on it, but I want to get your take. And I know your take is going to be very, very similar. And let's drive this point home to so many people, so many of my listeners that are still a little skeptical. And maybe they tried keto and it didn't work. Maybe they did it wrong. Maybe they had a, you know, best friend whose cholesterol went up with keto. So let's just get down and dirty, especially keto and the thyroid. And let's have a great, great discussion. My first question for you, my very first question for you is, what do you think about the people that say hypothyroid patients should not do keto? Can we start there and then we can actually kind of work backwards and get into more of what is keto, what's the benefits, all that good stuff?
Well, I would say that whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. It's really a mindset thing. That goes for everything. But I've actually seen ketosis, being in ketosis, be a valuable tool. It's one tool, but it's a very valuable, powerful tool, even for hypothyroidism or even hyperthyroidism. And the reason is because of one word, inflammation. I mean, if you could find a way to reduce inflammation, that could only help your specific condition. It's not the only thing you're going to do. Of course, there's going to be other things that you learn from Dr. Amy, but ketones are super powerful. When you do keto the right way, it is a great way to reduce cellular inflammation. And just to kind of revisit the body real quick, we know there's about 50 to 70 trillion cells inside of the human body. And then on every single cell, you have these receptor sites called integral membrane proteins. Think of these receptor sites as an antenna signal. The job of an antenna signal is to receive communication and then perform a specific job. The job of your receptor sites is to receive communication and to perform a specific job. It's receiving communication from your hormones, including your thyroid hormone T3. And what blocks it and what creates dysfunction is inflammation. It's like if I had my fingers in my ears, or better yet, if I hit mute here on my mic and I'm talking to you, Amy, you'd be like, what is Ben saying? I'd be frustrated. You'd be frustrated. There's going to be dysfunction because of this blockage. That's what inflammation is doing. Going back to keto now, when you do keto the right way for the right amount of time and you flex in and out, it is such a powerful way to downregulate cellular inflammation. So now those receptor sites for the T3 thyroid hormone are more sensitive. It's like me hitting the unmute button and actually the communication is now being received. So it could be a powerful way to actually achieve great results even with an underactive thyroid.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I didn't even pay you to say that. Like that just came right out.
It's true.
And that just flowed. And oh my gosh, that's so beautiful. And that just sets the stage, right? Because a lot of people tuning in, they already have it in their mind because they read it on Facebook or they read a blog or they read some anti-keto post of how you shouldn't do it if you have hypothyroidism. And I'm always going against that because of just exactly what you said. That inflammatory aspect, we talk a lot about reverse T3 here. So if reverse T3 goes up, it's very similar to what you said. It's going to block the cell from receiving T3. And that can come from what you're eating, in addition to all the other things that we talk about that can push up reverse T3. But what you put in your body is a huge component of that. So Ben, you lost 80 pounds of your own body fat. I'm kind of backtracking now. I want to hear your story. I wanted to set the stage with the thyroid and keto. So we're going to come back to that. But what is your story? How'd you get here in this space? How'd you lose 80 pounds?
Yeah, I'm somebody who followed a standard American diet. Like A lot of people do. And we know it's really a stupid American diet. It's really processed foods, toxic, high carbohydrates. And that was my life, you know, growing up here in beautiful Miami Beach, Florida, left to my own devices. Parents were divorced. My mom actually worked at a Kentucky Fried Chicken, two of them, as a matter of fact. So you better believe she brought me home many nights, Kentucky Fried Chicken. She did the best she can with her resources. So I ate the Kentucky Fried Chicken. I became addicted to sugar and alcohol and drugs and a toxic environment. So that showed with my physical appearance. As a kid, I was obese. I was bullied. I was picked on. And that went into my adulthood, where I found myself back in 2008 being a obese man at 250 pounds, physically obese, but also mentally obese, broken, lost in life, depressed, and even suicidal at that point. And I knew I needed to make a change. I didn't have the energy to do the things I wanted to do. I had lower back pain, knee pain, inflammation, gut issues. Something had to change. So the change was me changing my nutrition, exercising more, taking responsibility, which is actually the first thing that I did. And the first thing that we should all do is take responsibility. That word responsibility is your ability to respond to life. Up until that point, my ability to respond to life was really poor. I was blaming my genetics. I was blaming my enabling family members. I was blaming my slow metabolism. And I was the victim of my history. But after taking responsibility, I became the victor of my destiny, and I started to actually take ownership. 9 months from that moment of taking responsibility, I went from 250 pounds down to 170, size 38 in my waist, in my pants to size 30, 34% body fat down to 6% body fat. So finally, I carved out this physical transformation and a physical six-pack. But the most important thing I believe I achieved was a mental six pack. I started to think better thoughts. I started to realize how important those thoughts were. And that's what got me started into the health space. From then on, I became a personal trainer. I opened up a CrossFit gym, sold the CrossFit gym, then got certified as a functional health practitioner. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, here at Keto Camp, we're on a mission to educate and to inspire a billion people, like you said, because the human body is incredible. And I believe there's really three main things that we need to follow in order to heal the body, whether it's a thyroid issue or diabetes or even a cancer scare. And those three things, simple on paper, but we'll talk a little bit more in depth on how to achieve it. The three things are, number one, identify the interference. What is interfering with this amazing innate intelligence? Number two, work on removing the interference. And then number three, allow your incredible body to heal itself. So for me, I primarily teach ketosis and fasting and ancient healing strategies on how to achieve that. And that's the mission, to get the word out to as many people as possible.
So can you give us an example of when you say interference, what would that be?
Yeah. So back to the conversation in the beginning, inflammation. Inflammation is big interference. Eating every 2 to 3 hours, that's interference. High glucose levels, that's interference. Mm-hmm. Heavy metal toxicity, that's interference. Mold toxicity, I mean, toxic thoughts. Lack of sleep. There's so many things that we're taking hits on. And if you think about the world's greatest athletes, some that come to mind right now, Tom Brady, right? Who plays for the Buccaneers, played for the Patriots for a long time. Yep. Dwayne Wade, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan. What do they all have in common? What they did towards the second half of their career, they changed their game to take less hits, which extended their career. So they stopped driving to the basket as much. Tom Brady stayed in the pocket. And it extended their lifespan. So we need to take less hits. We need to identify the hits that we're taking and take less of those hits, and it'll extend our lifespan. So there's a lot of things right now that's interfering with this amazing human body.
Well, well put. Very well put. And a lot of it can come down to our own choices. So like you said, the standard American diet, right? If we are putting food into our body that creates inflammation. And I'm always talking about insulin and insulin resistance on this podcast, because I see insulin resistance 99% of the time when I'm working with someone with hypothyroidism or Hashimoto's. It's always there, because we know the thyroid's the master. It starts dysregulating the insulin signaling. And then when you add on top of that what the person is eating, you just have a huge ball of inflammation happening, because the insulin in and of itself is inflammatory. We need it to survive. Yeah. But I always say the fastest way to age, just jack up your insulin over and over again, and you'll die of cancer or neurological disease, and you'll die fat and early. because that's what's going to create enough inflammation to have your body shut down. Yep. So in your practice, Ben, do you see a lot of, because you deal with a lot of insulin resistance, do you also see a lot of hypothyroidism paired up with that?
Oh, totally. I mean, the thyroid is the canary in the coal mine, right? It's like the first thing to actually start becoming problematic. Insulin, to your point, is that bully of the block. And we're not designed to spike insulin throughout the entire day like the average American is doing. Insulin is amazing. I mean, it's a survival mechanism. We wouldn't exist today if we didn't have the ability to produce insulin. Look at type 1 diabetics before they invented insulin. They would wither away. But the problem is when you call that bully into the playground, then all of your fat-burning hormones are scattered, inflammation goes up, and the thyroid will begin to dysfunction because of the inflammation, partly, but other reasons as well. And yes, it's so common. I think it's estimated that 88% of Americans have some sort of metabolic inflexibility, insulin resistance. I mean, how it takes 15, 20 years for your allopathic doctor to tell you you have insulin resistance, but that could be developing for such a long time. And it's the same thing with the thyroid, right? It takes several years. And standard care is, oh, let's look at your TSH. Maybe we'll look at T3, but what about the full picture? What about looking at the full thyroid panel like you do, Amy? What about looking at your fasting insulin? I mean, how many doctors run that? Yep. That's where actually keto and fasting are so powerful because it does a great job at lowering insulin, reducing inflammation, and actually healing the body, including the thyroid as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly it. And you're right. It's such a beautiful back and forth because we see, okay, the thyroid gets dysregulated and starts throwing off insulin signaling. But just like you said, then it goes back. So then you have high insulin, which is producing inflammation, downregulating thyroid function. So it's a, well, it could be called an ugly back and forth because it really sets the person up to feel horrible and to walk around with all of those symptoms of weight gain and fatigue and hair loss and low libido. Now, do you see insulin affecting hormones as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the best ways to know if you have something going on with your hormones, skip a meal and see how you feel. That's one of the easiest tests you can do. And I'll tell you this, most people will say, what do you talk? Skip a meal. I'll go hypoglycemic. I'll get hangry. Or Dave Asprey actually calls it hypoglybitchy is what he says.
I like it.
That's a great test right there. And that's because you don't have metabolic flexibility and your metabolism is broken. But the great news is that you could fix that fairly soon as well. So yes, insulin is going to bully the other hormones. It is a strong hormone. It will create inflammation. It'll bully the thyroid. It'll bully your fat burning hormones. It's going to be impossible to lose the weight you want to lose if you're keeping insulin up. It's the only fat storage hormone in the body. I mean, there's over 600 hormones that we know of, but only one of them store fat. That hormone is insulin. So we want to make sure we dial down the insulin, not all the time, but most of the time, so the body could begin to heal itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love you terming it as a bully because that's exactly it. And it is the fat storage hormone. I say that over and over again. It's needed for life. Like you said, in the case of a type 1 diabetic, we need insulin for them to survive or they will wither and die without insulin. So it's needed for life, but in excess, it's like a Jekyll and Hyde. Mm-hmm. It becomes this angry bully, like you said, and just starts storing fat on your body, left and right, just storing fat.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if we could just understand that point right there, and that's what keto can do for you. Keto could lower you. When you think about the three macronutrients, fat, carbs, and protein, which one spikes insulin the most? Of course, carbohydrates. And no, not all carbs are created equal, but they all will spike insulin. Protein will give you an insulin spike, but it's what's called a phase two, less than a phase one from carbs. And fat barely touches the dial on insulin. Take a shot of olive oil. There's no insulin response. So that's why ketogenic lifestyle and fasting can be so powerful.
So let's say you have a person that comes to you, they're brand new, they have a thyroid problem, they have a hormone problem. They say to you, as we stated in your bio, I want to do this without medication. Mm-hmm. So you know that their thyroid is off because of high inflammation. You're looking at what they're eating, standard American diet. You can see their fasting insulin is elevated if they're lucky enough to get it on a test, or if you tell them, hey, go get fasting insulin. So you know what's going on. Where do you start them? Where do you start a newbie in this education process? You don't have to give away your farm because I love your program. We're going to send people there, but kind of give us some nuggets of where you would start them.
Well, the first step is to get them fat adapted instead of being a sugar burner. If they're open to it and have the resources, of course, I'd love to run a lot of lab work on them, a full thyroid panel, mm-hmm. including the antibodies to see if it's an autoimmune thing going on. That reverse T3 that you mentioned earlier is important to look at. It's an indicator of high stress, and that could be mental, emotional stress, physical stress, or even like a toxicity component. Like, we know that silver fillings, mercury and fillings, has an affinity for the thyroid. It wrecks it. Yep. So I'd ask these questions. Do you have silver fillings? Have you ever had silver fillings? Did your mom have silver fillings when she gave birth to you? Get a health history. And then I'd get them fat adapted to start. And that simply means, when we think about the 70 trillion cells in the body, we could only burn sugar, glucose, or fat and ketones. Most people are burning sugar, which is highly oxidative and inflammatory. It creates a lot of cellular smoke, if you will. Cells produce energy, creates toxins. Same way if I burn firewood and produce toxins in my room here. So when you're burning sugar all the time, it creates a lot of toxins. I compare that to a truck that's speeding through your streets with all this smoke being blasted out of the exhaust pipe of that truck. The truck is not going to be healthy for the surrounding environment. Well, it's not healthy for your cellular environment. So we want to switch fuel sources and burn fat, which is a more efficient, clean source of fuel that I compare to a Tesla. That Tesla is much better for the environment versus the truck. So how do you do that? I'm going to make a bold claim here, Amy, for your audience. Mm-hmm. I could get 98% of people fat adapted in 7 days with two steps. And I'm going to share those two steps right now. The first step, find out how many carbs you're eating right now. Don't make any changes yet. Grab like a free calculator, a free app out there. There are several out there. Or just go on Dr. Google. But find out how many total carbohydrates you're having on a current day before any changes. The average American is having 300 to 400 grams of carbs per day. So once you determine that, the first step is to gradually start decreasing those carbs every single day. So if you're having 300 grams of carbs a day, on day one, take it to 250. On day two, take it to 200. And keep doing that until you eventually, within those 7 days, get your total carbohydrate intake below 50 grams. Mm-hmm. I do recommend this gradual approach versus 300 down to 50, because that'll create symptom. So a gradual approach. That's the first step.
Okay. This is me literally just speaking to you from the heart. So many of you know, I've been where you are with the struggle of weight gain, unexplained. Literally, you're doing everything you can and nothing is working. And I've been in the boat of crushing fatigue, like the type of fatigue you can't explain to anyone unless they've gone through it. The hair loss, legit, when you're counting the hairs that fall out of your head. I get that because I've been there. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing right now. That's why it's my passion to help you specifically get to where you deserve to be. Get to optimization land, which I always joke about being in. But it's not really a joke. It's a place. It's a place of existence in your life where you can enjoy life. You can go out with your friends. You can have a glass of wine. You're not gaining weight looking sideways at a brownie. You have energy to get through the day. You don't even think about being tired because you're not tired. You're just confident. You're confident in your own body. You're confident in your own skin. And beyond that, you're out of that frustrating cycle of doctor jumping, thinking that maybe this one will listen to me. Maybe this one will actually do what they're supposed to do. And then you're disappointed again and you're crying in your car like I was. So that is why it's literally been my mission. And I've been working on this for years and finally got here to help every single person in every single state and some of Canada. So we can now prescribe to all 50 states. And the reason why this is important is because if you have low thyroid function and you have low hormones, there is no supplement, there's no diet, there's no lifestyle change that you can do to build those hormones back up. And I flat out call BS on any program out there that promises you optimization without actually using bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, including thyroid hormone replacement. If you're not making hormones properly, you're not making hormones properly, and we have to replace that. that many of you are in the process of begging your doctor for bioidentical hormones that they're uneducated on. They tell you scary things that just, you know, don't believe them. And many of you are trying to beg your doctor to give you the right thyroid medication. Well, you can stop that now too, because we can order all the labs, prescribe all the bioidentical hormones, all the thyroid medication, all the things. We can do that to all 50 states and most of Canada. Now, when you work with me, when you work with my team, you're getting personalized plans, personalized treatment plans, personalized nutrition, the whole deal, top to bottom. You get what you need to get to the finish line, to enjoy your life, to live with me in Optimization Land, which is where you deserve to be. You deserve that. So click the link in the show notes, book a free call. We're going to go over everything with you. You don't have to remember everything I just said. The one thing you have to remember is I've been there. I can help you. I promise you're not that tough of a case. And it doesn't matter where you live in the United States and parts of Canada, we can help you.
The second step goes in line with the first step. You do it at the same time, but it's what's called the 2-2-2-2 rule that I talk about in my book, Keto Flex. I got this from my mentor, Dr. Daniel Pompa.
So
you know Dr. Pompa?
I worked with Dr. Pompa 25 years ago.
No way.
Yeah, small world. Yes, I know him very well.
That makes sense. Yeah. Wow, that's all. Yeah, he's my mentor. He changed my life. So yeah, pretty cool. So he developed this rule I wrote about in the book. So every single day you want to consume 2 tablespoons of olive oil or avocado oil, 2 tablespoons of coconut oil or MCT oil, 2 tablespoons of grass-fed butter or grass-fed ghee, and then 2 teaspoons, not tablespoons, of sea salt. You hit that 2-2-2-2 rule, gradually decrease your carbs, and in 7 days, you're going to be in the great land of ketosis. Now you're fat-adapted, burning fat instead of sugar.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. That is beautiful and simple. So beautiful and simple. Now I'm going to be devil's advocate, and I'm going to come to you with what I hear from my patients. But then I dropped my carbs in the past and I didn't feel right at all. I got so nauseous and I didn't lose any fat whatsoever. And then my doctor told me I better not do keto.
Mm, yeah, I hear that a lot. I'm glad you brought that up. So a lot of people struggle on keto because they can't break down the fat. And the reason they can't break down the fat is because they have thick, sluggish bile. The liver, the soccer mom organ liver, does everything for us and we beat her up from medications and alcohol and toxins and processed carbs. And when you start increasing the fats, like the 2-2-2-2 rule, and you can't break down the fats, you feel awful. And it actually can make you feel worse. So the solution is to increase your bitters, bitter for the liver. And I talk about this in the book, but having more bitters, especially right when you start keto, will make a big difference to thin the bile. And that bile acts as a detergent to start breaking down the fat. And it has a detoxification component. So my favorite bitters, apple cider vinegar is a keto powerhouse because not only is it a bitter, right, Amy, it also could regulate glucose.
Yep.
I like arugula, dandelion greens, dandelion tea, ginger tea, milk thistle tea, lemons and lime. So get the bitters up, keep the electrolytes up, and don't focus on the weight loss in the beginning. Focus on non-scale victories. Focus on your energy levels improving. Maybe you get your body fat percentage done, how your clothes are fitting. The number on the scale will fluctuate for so many reasons. And don't let that discourage you to think that your approach is not working. Get some lab work done. Look at your inflammatory markers. These are much more important. As the body gets healthy, it'll start to release that fat and you'll lose that fat. But we don't lose weight to get healthy. We get healthy to lose weight. So the bitters are going to be key for that.
And they're cheap. I mean, everything that you said is not a $70 supplement that you have to go get.
Exactly.
It's easy to do. Okay, so now let's say it's, we'll give it 3-4 weeks in. And now, Ben, I'm still not losing weight. So what am I doing wrong? What is the main thing that you see people doing wrong when they first start off on keto?
They haven't built the strong foundation of health. And that starts with sleep. Sleep is, you mentioned it earlier, sleep is so important. Your body is detoxifying. Your brain is detoxifying. You're actually burning fat during sleep. So if you're not getting quality sleep, and I categorize that as at least 7 hours of quality sleep, getting enough deep sleep and REM sleep, it's going to be very difficult to lose that weight. So revisit the fundamentals, make sure your sleep is good. Also, make sure your mental emotional stress is good. I mean, we live in an interesting world right now. A lot of people are dealing with mental emotional stress. Mm-hmm. You've got to master that stress in order to heal your body, especially when we think about self-love. It's kind of a woo-woo topic, but it's so important. My colleague, Dr. Will Cole, who's also in Pittsburgh, by the way.
Yeah, that's Bill's son.
Exactly.
I worked with Bill Cole and Dan Pompa together.
I love it. I love that. I didn't even realize that. So Will Cole said, you cannot heal a body that you hate. And I agree with that 100%. And I take that even farther. And I would say you cannot heal a body that has any hate. It's those toxic thoughts. It's so imperative to think loving, abundant thoughts. I know it sounds woo-woo, but Dr. Bruce Lipton has shown your thoughts will create specific proteins that are inflammatory or not. So I would revisit the fundamentals, sleep, also movement, making sure that's down pat. And if you're still not losing weight, then you might need to start incorporating a change by implementing fasting and different fasting schedules.
Okay, so I'm glad you transitioned us into fasting now. So we talk keto. I do want to talk fasting. And Will Cole, I got to call him out. He stole my idea and named it before I had a chance to, but I'm at 100% agreement. Intuitive fasting. Yes. I have been telling my people for years.
I love that.
Years. I've been telling them, you know what? If you're not hungry in the morning, don't eat. And guess what? If you are hungry, maybe it's just, you know, one day out of the week and whatever, you're just randomly hungry, then you know what? Eat. And it's that simple. Listen to your body. So give me your take on fasting and how to incorporate it in. And is it good or bad for people with hypothyroidism?
Yeah, I love that. I love that you shared that. I agree. You know, intuitive fasting is important. Listen to your body. Develop that intuition. That's very, very important. You can do fasting with hypothyroidism because it's going to help you reduce inflammation and clear out some junk as long as you're making sure that you're feasting when you eat and not cheating, but feasting and eating enough when you are eating to support the thyroid. And then we'll talk about like keto flexing and all that. But one of the best ways to begin fasting is with 12 hours. Very simple. Done eating at 7 p.m., waiting until 7 a.m. the next morning, 12-hour fast. And then you kind of build that fasting muscle by maybe pushing out your breakfast an hour and then 2 hours, or bumping down your dinner an hour and 2 hours, whatever you feel is better for your schedule. But I like an 18-6 schedule for most people, meaning 18 hours in the fasted state, having water, sea salt, electrolytes, maybe coffee and tea. And then you have a 6-hour eating window with two meals, ideally keto-friendly meals on most days. So I like an 18-6. And then, of course, there's different variations, but that's a great start. And it's a sustainable approach as well.
Totally sustainable. And you know, I always tell people, listen, there are going to be days where you are just more hungry than others. And if you're doing keto properly, then, and it's not a matter of, oh, you just jacked up your blood sugar yesterday with, you know, burgers and pasta and ice cream, and now you're hungry the next morning. Duh, of course that's going to happen. But if you wake up and you are, you know, just one of those days where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm hungry today. I don't know if I can fast. The big thing that I tell thyroid patients, and you can let me know if you agree, Ben, is your cortisol levels are imperative to T3 function. So T3 needs cortisol, cortisol needs T3. If your body, maybe you are stressed out, maybe you didn't sleep well, maybe today is not a day too fast. Break out of that type A personality of, oh, I said I was going to do 18-6 today and I'm doing 18-6 today no matter what. You have to kind of break out of that and allow yourself some grace to eat that day because there's always tomorrow.
Mm. No, 100% agree. I love that. I say the same thing. If you're stressed out, didn't get a good night of sleep, or you're just stressed out from work, it's probably not a good idea for you to fast longer than maybe 12 or 14 hours. Fasting is already a stressor. Stressed out for something else, your body can't adapt to it. And then you get negative effects, that cortisol. So I agree 100%. You got to really match the fasting with how well you are at managing your stress and how good you are at getting sleep. Now, if it's a great day, you slept rock solid, your stress is under control, then you might do a longer fast, right? You listen to your body and see how you feel. But I 100% agree. You shouldn't do a lot of fasting if you're already stressed out.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any fasting rules, let's say for women versus men, for hypothyroid patients that are just starting off to heal? Any specific rules for them?
Yeah, for women who have a monthly cycle, the 7 days before their period is when I don't want them to do much fasting or even be in ketosis. They need to build progesterone to help with that monthly cycle. And fasting does not help build progesterone, but eating does. So that's when I like more of a paleo, higher carb approach and less fasting. And that goes for somebody who has a thyroid condition or not. But the menstrual cycle, the 7 days before, is important not to do much fasting or even a lot of keto. Now, once the cycle hits, that bleed week, that's when you can be more aggressive and do more fasting, more ketosis. So that's just a general rule of thumb that I share.
Oh, that's a good one. I haven't heard that yet. Okay. So you have a book called Keto Flex.
Yes.
I always tell my patients, do keto for the week and come out on the weekends. Again, not with a cheat. We're not talking about go out and eat a pizza and a Dairy Queen cake, but come out of it, break out of ketosis by increasing your carbs. So how does that compare? How do you flex people?
Yeah, I love that. I love that you do that. So I like to teach people to get fat adapted, like I explained, could be done in 7 to 14 days. But fat adaptation is different than keto adaptation. Fat adaptation just means you're burning fat instead of sugar primarily. Keto adaptation means now your brain, your mitochondria, your cells are now using ketones as the primary fuel source. That takes a little bit longer. That takes about 8 to 12 weeks on average, maybe shorter if you're already metabolically flexible. So in the beginning, I like to be a little bit strict and stay in ketosis for about 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we start flexing. And to your point, it could be a flex day per week. There's something called the 5-1-1 rule in the book where you intentionally plan ahead. Maybe it's a Saturday that you're going to a concert or a sports game or a wedding. And that's the day where you know you're going to have more carbs, some alcohol, whatever it is. But of course, we want to be healthy. But then you intentionally have those carbs and flex out. But the goal is metabolic flexibility and freedom. If you've done the work, you should be able to bounce right back into ketosis within 48 hours. So I like that once a week sort of deal for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's great. And so let's say it's a woman. And like you said before, it's a week before her period. Would that week then be her flex week? And would you want her to stay under 50 grams of carbs then through the rest of the month?
Yeah, it's a great, great question. I'm glad you asked that because I'm sure somebody's wondering that. Even for the woman who has a monthly cycle, I want you to stay in ketosis until you're keto adapted. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, you start practicing the flexing principles, including getting out 7 days before your period. So give it a good 8 weeks of ketosis and don't follow that rule of flexing out the week before your period. Get keto adapted and then you could start flexing and following those principles.
So I know they're thinking right now, well, how do I know if I'm keto adapted? So what do you do to test? What's your recommendations?
Great question. Again, you asked the best question. So there's three ways to test ketones. There is beta hydroxybutyrate, which is found in the bloodstream. So you have the finger prick. There's acetoacetate, which is expelled in the urine. And then there's acetone, which is expelled in your breath. A lot of people go for the urine strips because they're cheap, but they're cheap for a reason. They're not accurate. They might be accurate in the first few days, but once your body is efficient at utilizing those ketones, which is what you want, the acetoacetate will not be expelled in the urine, giving you a false negative. So right. I'm not a big fan of the urine strips. Now, the breath meters over the years have been hit or miss until one recently came on the market a few years ago called Biosense. I like them. I've done some work with them. If you want to get their meter, that's a good meter to use for the breath, but I'm going to focus on blood because blood is the gold standard, beta hydroxybutyrate. Get a finger prick machine. I personally use the Keto Mojo. Gives you glucose and ketones. And if you hit 0.5 or higher in your ketone readings, you're in ketosis and you should do that within those 7 days. Now, how do you know if you're keto adapted? Unfortunately, there's no way to test unless you go into like a lab and they're doing all these experiments with you. There's no reasonable way to do so. But here's how you would know from what I've seen. You're like, oh my gosh, my brain is firing on all cylinders. I feel so creative. I feel so resilient. It just takes your keto results to another level. And it's something you have to kind of feel to experience. But just know this, if you're in ketosis for 8 weeks, 8 to 12 weeks, and you're testing on a regular basis, after that time period, you're probably keto adapted and you're going to notice those benefits. So that would be my recommendation to test in the beginning, and then start to pay attention to those advanced benefits you start to experience about 8 weeks after.
And you really do know. I mean, the benefits are so huge, and there's, you can't explain them to people until you actually experience them. True. And then you tune into your body and you know when you are in ketosis or not. I mean, I rarely even test anymore. I have the Keto Mojo. I used it left and right when I first got it. It was so much fun. It's fun to get that biofeedback. But after a while, you intuitively know whether you are or aren't.
That's right. Me too. I don't test that often anymore because you just gain that understanding. That's why I call it the great land of ketosis. You just feel like a rock star. I just love the way I feel when I'm in ketosis.
Yeah, you really do. And then you and I don't get the extra 5 pounds when we happen to eat that brownie that we really, really wanted. Whereas before, and I'm sure on your journey prior to you losing those 80 pounds, you were probably like that. You probably, anything you ate would be, oh, here's a pound, here's 5 pounds, here's 10 pounds, because your body was just taking that sugar and laying it down because you already just be a big sugar burner. Correct. Instead of a fat burner.
Yeah, correct. The ultimate goal is metabolic flexibility. And once you have that, you could enjoy yourself. I mean, what's the point of living longer if you can't enjoy yourself, if you're kind of restricted? So I'm not a big fan of a restrictive approach and the dogmatic approach a lot of people teach when it comes to keto or any diet, really. I've learned the hard way. I was a hardcore vegan for a year and a half, and I was very dogmatic about it. So yep. I made the decision to not put myself in a box, and I don't with keto. I think it's important to be able to enjoy yourself as well.
Yeah, I agree. You have to live life. You have to be able to live life. But you do want to live it ultimately disease-free.
Yes.
And here's what I always say, and I'm kind of going down different rabbit holes, but it all ties together with thyroid, with health, with, you know, longevity, with weight loss, the whole deal. Whenever I talk about keto and I get pushback, whether it's on a podcast or from a patient, I go, keto is the only way of eating. I won't even call it a diet. It is the only way of eating that has more studies on it published, you know, PubMed, Google Scholar, look it up. More studies than I have ever seen on any other diet or style of eating that has ever been out there. You will find keto and Alzheimer's disease, as in reduction, neurological conditions, autism, ADD, ADHD, obesity, type 2 diabetes. I mean, I'm sure you could go on and on, but I have never seen something so studied with such positive outcomes. Mm-hmm. And I go, how can this ever get a bad rep? How can anyone ever talk poorly about keto?
I agree. I mean, like you said, it's keto is technically not even a diet. It's a metabolic process. And it's been around since humans have existed. Nothing new about it. And the studies are amazing. Now, the studies that show something negative about keto, which they're out there, you got to read the study, mm-hmm. and actually you'll see they ate inflammatory fats. There's a big difference between healthy, stable, clean fats and inflammatory fats. But all the studies that did it the right way, to your point, Amy, show amazing results. I was just doing I did a TikTok video the other day, and I was looking at a study here on the BMJ, British Medical Journal. Mm-hmm. And it showed, I remember the percentage, it showed that so during 6 years, they took these participants, hundreds of them, and they put them on a low carbohydrate diet, keto. And 93% of those that were pre-diabetic were able to actually get to healthy A1C levels. 93%. Those that were diabetic, I don't remember the percentage, so I won't share it, but it was a good percentage that were able to reduce their medication or get off of it altogether. And in this study, they had individuals that were over the age of 65 as well. So it doesn't matter what your age is. And the studies are out there. They're on PubMed. They're on all these resources. It's such a powerful tool when you do it the right way.
It just is. I'll have to send you the study that a colleague of mine and I did and had published. It was on my patient, and he was an insulin-dependent diabetic with an A1C of 13.9. So it started that he knew about the signs and symptoms of diabetes, and he was away for work and was experiencing that, you know, crazy thirst, just wasn't feeling very good, went to the hospital. That's where they diagnosed him. His blood sugar was in the 600s. He was lucky he didn't go into a diabetic coma, A1C at 13.9, insulin dependent. So he leaves the hospital, calls me, becomes my patient. And we put him on a ketogenic diet. And I went through the why. I'm like, there's no question. You don't have a choice here. This is what we have to do. Because he's like, I don't want to be on insulin anymore. I do not want to be insulin dependent. I see my dad. I see my cousins. I do not want to be taking insulin the rest of my life. said, okay, well, you know, let's do this. So we do a ketogenic diet. I'm literally on the phone with him as he's walking through the grocery store, telling him what to choose because he's in another city. And he blew my mind. In 6 weeks, he was off insulin. His A1C wow. went to an 8.4. In 6 months, he had reversed his diabetes. His A1C went down to a 5.4. Crazy. That. I know.
I believe that. We'll talk about that on my podcast, by the way. I love that. It's amazing. So powerful. I've seen very, very similar stories with my academy students. They get off the, of course, work with their doctor like he did with you. Yep. But you get off the, you reduce your medication and eventually you get off of it. It's not a lifelong sentence. The American Diabetes Association, they're wrong. It's not a progressive lifestyle thing you have to deal with for the rest of your life. It makes sense. If it's a lifestyle disease, the treatment should be lifestyle changes, right. Not medication. There's a huge mismatch there. So I love that. It's a powerful, powerful story you just shared.
Yeah. And all the studies out there, I love case studies, mm-hmm. because they are just, you know, one person or just a couple of people that you can really dig into their specific case without, like you said, the mix of what's kind of muddying up the study. Is it funded by so-and-so? Is it funded by a drug company that says right. keto doesn't work because they want you on more, you know, Trulicity? So,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Now you mentioned PUFAs, and this is a big one too for people because, as we know, there's dirty keto and there's clean keto. And if you do dirty keto, it might work in the beginning, but it's not going to work long-term because, as we know, PUFAs will increase your insulin, correct?
Yeah. PUFAs are horrible. I mean, I would make the argument that they're worse than sugar, mm-hmm. because your body could at least burn off excess sugar with exercise. You can't burn off these polyunsaturated fatty acids, these vegetable oils. They are highly inflammatory. And yeah, it could raise insulin because of the cellular membrane inflammation component that will blunt those insulin and thyroid and other hormone receptor sites. Mm-hmm. So they're everywhere. They are ubiquitous. They're at Whole Foods, at your restaurant. They're on keto-friendly packages. We got to read the ingredients because I've read studies that show weeks to months of inflammation after just one meal of these PUFAs. They are terrible. The reason they're so bad is because they have these double bonds that are closely connected to each other, which attracts a lot of oxygen. And that just means it creates a lot of oxidation and inflammation. And then the body cannot use it as an energy source. The mitochondria cannot burn it as an energy source. Dr. Kate Shanahan estimated that at least 30 to 40% of the total calories from a standard American comes from PUFAs. I would estimate it's even higher with those doing keto because obviously you're eating more fats. They are awful. So I'm going to give a list of the vegetable oils. It's canola oil, mm-hmm. corn oil, cottonseed oil, sunflower oil, soybean oil, safflower oil, grapeseed oil, and rice bran oil. Those are highly unstable, highly inflammatory, and will create hormone issues, thyroid issues, type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance, you name it. You name the disease, chances are it's connected to these vegetable oils. So instead, we want stable, saturated, and monounsaturated fats, like the ones mentioned in the 2-2-2-2 rule, olive oil, avocado oil, even grass-fed beef, eggs, et cetera. We want stable, saturated fats that support the cells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, Dr. Kate Shanahan's awesome when she talks about PUFAs. She just lays it out there. It's so beautiful. PUFAs go poof. That's what she says. Yes. So, yeah. And that's a shame. You know what? You brought up something I want to mention again and reiterate. Look at the packaging, because I always say, okay, when you're going gluten-free, right now we know there are a million and one different gluten-free products out there, but you could pick one up. Again, it can be loaded with sugar. It could have tapioca starch. It could have brown rice flour in it, potato starch flour. So still very, very high in carbs, still very inflammatory, still going to put on weight. Now we have this whole line of keto products. Mm-hmm. So everyone thinks that if it says keto on it, it must be okay, right? What are your thoughts on those?
No, I mean, you said it. It's so true. Keto friendly doesn't mean health friendly. There's right. not, it's not synonymous. A lot of these companies now, like they did with the gluten-free movement, have adopted the keto movement, and they use it to their advantage by creating all these keto-friendly products that are not healthy. They're really not. I mean, you could go to McDonald's and get a Big Mac without the bun and say you're doing keto, which you're right. You are doing keto, but it's not a healthy approach to keto. So when we talk about it here, we're talking about healthy, clean keto. That's going to be important because I said it earlier, they're worse than sugar. I'd rather you eat a standard American diet than these PUFAs. Granted, if you don't, I mean, a standard American diet without PUFAs might be better. It is better than a keto diet with PUFAs. And that's coming from a keto guy. Okay.
That's, yeah. That's big. Yeah. That is really big. Yeah.
It's so, the truth. They're so inflammatory. They will create disease in your body eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So PUFAs, then sugar. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, Ben, you have given us just so much, I mean, just jaw-dropping, amazing information. If people don't take this and make some changes, like you said in the beginning, those simple things to tally up your carbs, see where you're at. I'm with you. I like 50 or below. You don't have to go into the 10 grams of carbs per day camp. I mean, you could be in ketosis under 50, right?
Yeah, most people will get there under 50, absolutely.
Totally doable. So if people are listening, they're like, love this guy, just like I do. Where can they find you? Where can they work with you?
I would recommend my book. It has my four pillars in there. I go really in depth into keto, whether you are a beginner or somebody who's advanced. I talk about carnivore, keto flexing strategies. There's also an entire chapter on how to do keto and fasting for women, chapter 12, whether you're a cycling woman or a postmenopausal woman. So I would love for you to get the book if you're enjoying this information. It's ketoflexbook.com. And then, of course, I have my Keto Camp podcast. I'm going to interview Amy very soon on it. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, we have over 300 episodes. And then lastly, our YouTube channel, which is Keto Camp, Camp with the K on YouTube. We have a really fun YouTube channel.
That's awesome. We will put all the links in the show notes. So
thank you.
That is beautiful. Well, Ben, thank you so much for your knowledge and your time today. I greatly appreciate it. I know my listeners appreciate it. And we'll have you back on for sure because I want to dive into sleep and detox and all that other stuff that we just didn't get a chance to go over today.
I would love to come back. I love what you're doing. Thank you for having me on your show. And I can't wait to have you on my show in just a few days.
Thank you so much, Ben.
Thanks, Amy.